Hi, Steve Johnson, Executive Director at Insight for Living Canada. Every day we work hard to bring you practical, down-to-earth Bible teaching through our daily radio program, Insight for Living. But did you know we also have a free monthly publication called Insights? We feature regular articles from Chuck Swindoll, as well as interesting features covering topics Canadian families face every day. I think you'll really enjoy our monthly publication, created with you in mind. If you don't receive our monthly insights, what are you waiting for? It's always free, and it's easy to sign up. Just call 1-800-663-7639 and ask for Insights. Or you can sign up online at insightforliving.ca/insights.
Today on Insight for Living from Chuck Swindoll.
I frequently plead with those without Christ not to run the risk that you will live to the end of this year, to say nothing of the end of this month. Because if you go into this time after the church is removed, the Spirit of God is lifted from this earth, and the judgments begin, you will go through the horrific times revealed in Revelation, and the jokes will all be over.
In his comprehensive study through the book of Revelation, Chuck Swindoll has identified three parts, or three acts. Act 1 features Revelation chapters 1 through 5. Act 2 is the part we began last week on Insight for Living. In a moment, Chuck will read a passage from chapter 6. In this portion of our study, the writer begins to describe an alarming season of judgment when the church is removed from the earth. Chuck titled this message from Act 2 of our study in Revelation, Let the Judgments Begin.
If you have a Bible handy, please turn to the last book in the Bible, the book of the Revelation, to the 6th chapter of Revelation. We begin today the very serious journey that takes us through chapter 19 all the way to the kingdom reign of Christ on this earth. And here begins the earthly judgments. The church will be removed from the earth, so we do not go through this time, but it is a dreadful time for those who have never come to Christ. We are taken out before these events begin to occur, but those who remain will go through them as long as they are alive, of course, and then they face the ultimate eternal judgment. Perhaps without wanting to be too offensive about this, I need to say you, if you've never come to Christ, will face this kind of future. Revelation 6, verse 1. Then I saw when the Lamb broke one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying, as with a voice of thunder, Come. I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. When he broke the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, Come. And another, a red horse, went out. And to him who sat on it, it was granted to take peace from the earth, and that men would slay one another. And a great sword was given to him. When he broke the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, Come. I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard something like a voice in the center of the four living creatures saying, A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius. And do not damage the oil and the wine. When the Lamb broke the 4th seal, I heard the voice of the 4th living creature saying, "Come." I looked, and behold, an ashen horse. And he who sat on it had the name Death, and Hades was following with him. Authority was given to them over 1/4 of the earth to kill with sword and with famine and with pestilence and by the wild beasts of the earth. That is why most preachers don't preach through the book of Revelation. It has its challenges, and today represents one of them. I want to say before we pray that studying prophecy need not be that complicated, but it is not only serious, it requires concentration. Remember going through high school and taking math that led to algebra, and then advanced algebra that led to geometry, trigonometry, calculus? Remember? Remember how important it was to attend every class and not miss one teaching session? Because in math, you build facts on one another, like learning a language. You start with the very basics of the alphabet, and then each day you're building. And if you drift, you'll miss an important segment, and then you'll say, "Well, this is just a complicated language." Wait a minute. It need not be complicated. And our hope is to help keep this interesting and moving so that you continue to keep the grasp of the picture. But I'll do my part, you must do your part as we work together in this project, if you will.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To dig deeper into the book of Revelation with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures Bible Studies by going to insightforliving.ca/studies. Chuck calls today's message, "Let the Judgments Begin."
Do you remember when the whole thought of God's judgment first landed in your mind? You may be surprised to hear that I remember not only when that happened, but where I was and how it occurred. My sister Lucy, a couple of years older than I, was away at college, and being the art and music major she was, she came in touch with a number of things while at the school she attended, Mary Hardin Baylor College in Belton. She came home with an album called God's Trombones. Now, that was back in the time when albums were big, round, multiple platters. 4 of you remember those times when albums were like that. And if you had an album of music, it wasn't one little CD or a set of cassettes or one cassette. It was a series of 4, 5, sometimes as many as 7 platters on which the music was cut literally into grooves, and these plastic platters fit into little cardboard sleeves, and that formed the album. Well, she brought that home with her like a heavy notebook from school, and she said to me one afternoon, "Babe, I want you to listen to this. You'll love it." She knew my love for poetry, and she knew I would take to this sort of thing, and I said, "God's Trombones, James Weldon Johnson, 1927. I read in the back of the album that it was originally done for Broadway, and it was a series of 7 sermons preached in the old black culture style of the old preacher of yesteryear with that meter, that rhythm style that Oh, I'll tell you, few people can preach like the great, great black preachers of America. And so this was an unfolding of seven of the stories through the Bible or scenes out of the Bible. I remember one about creation, where everything was dark, black as a thousand midnights in a cypress swamp. I remember that line, still use it today. Well, I came across in the album one of them that was called The Judgment Day. In that great day, people, in that great day, God's going to rain down fire. God's going to sit in the middle of the air to judge the quick and the dead. Early one of these mornings, God's going to call for Gabriel, that tall, bright angel, Gabriel. And God's going to say to him, Gabriel, blow your silver trumpet and wake the living nations. And Gabriel's going to ask him, Lord, how loud must I blow it? And God's going to tell him, Gabriel, blow it calm and easy. Then putting one foot on the mountaintop and the other in the middle of the sea, Gabriel's going to stand and blow his horn and wake the living nations. Oh, sinner, where will you stand? In that great day when God's going to rain down fire, oh, you gambling man, where are you going to stand? You whoremongering man, where will you stand? Liars and backsliders, where will you stand in that great day when God's going to rain down fire? And God will divide the sheep from the goats, the one on the right, the other on the left, and to them on the right, God's going to say, enter my kingdom, and those who've come through great tribulation and wash their robes in the blood of the Lamb, they'll enter in clothed in spotless white. But to those on the left, God's going to say, depart from me into everlasting darkness, down into the bottomless pit, and the wicked, like lumps of lead, will start to fall. Headlong for 7 days and seven nights, they'll fall plumb into the big, black, red-hot mouth of hell. Too late, sinner. Too late. Goodbye, sinner. Goodbye. In hell, sinner, in hell, beyond the reach of the love of God. And I hear a voice crying, crying, time shall be no more. Time shall be no more. Time shall be no more. And the sun will go out like a candle in the wind. The moon will turn to dripping blood. Stars will fall like cinders. And the sea will burn like tar. And the earth shall melt away and be dissolved, and the sky will roll up like a scroll with the wave of his hand. Well, God will blot out time and start the wheel of eternity. Sinner, oh sinner, where will you stand in that great day when God's going to rain down fire? Well, I was 16 at the time. Scared the shorts off of me when I heard that. Now, I understand some of you literalists are saying, well, there's a lot of imagination in there. Come on. Come on, Chuck. It's just poetry. Wait a minute. Hold on. You understand that there may have been some imagination, a little exaggeration, at least in the expressions used, but that old preacher, as I recall, it was a narration by Harry Belafonte. That old preacher, when he unloaded the goods, found his source material in the book of the Revelation. Original source document for the judgments to come. Mixed carefully with Daniel and Zechariah, sections from the prophets, and a few from other portions of the Word of God, you put this together, you come up with an understanding that At least here, Revelation 6 through Revelation 19 takes you through an unfolding of these judgments yet to come on an earth that has literally lived its life unrepenting and in rebellion. And God says, finally, that's enough. We've been with John as he's been in heaven. We've watched John as he stood with mouth open, meeting 24 elders enthroned around the living God in the throne room of the king. And we've also seen the four angels called living creatures. And we've seen the scroll as it's been held in the hands of the Almighty. And we've watched the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world take that scroll and hold the scroll. And then we've listened as not only those in heaven, and I'm sure John must have chimed in, but the myriad of individuals in heaven, on earth, under the earth, in the sea, under the sea, and all things joined together in the singing of that triad of great songs of worship, concluding with, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. To him who sits on the throne, to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever and ever and ever." And we want it to stop there. It ends so well. There's a great climax as the praises to the living God and to the Lamb are lifted all around the entire Hashemayim, the universe, the spaces, the firmament, the worlds, the planets beyond this one and the numerous galaxies beyond what we will ever see with these naked eyes. But it does not end there. The judgments start there. And if you have your Bible with you and have it open to Revelation chapter 6, you're at the right place for where it all gets started. Understand that we, God's redeemed, have been lifted from this earth and taken home to be with him, preserved from these things, which is another reason I frequently plead with those without Christ not to run the risk that you will live till dark, or you will live till the end of this year, to say nothing of the end of this month. Because if you go into this time after the church is removed, the Spirit of God is lifted from this earth, and the judgments begin, you will go through the horrific times revealed in Revelation 6 through 19, and the jokes will all be over. One thing you will not hear in these tribulation years is laughter and song. The sounds of joy. It's over. So in order for us to grasp the unfolding of the judgments, allow me to introduce three thoughts to you. They come in three symbols. Stay with me now. The seals, as if a document is sealed in soft wax, the seals that are broken, there are seven of them. At the breaking of the seventh seal judgment, there is the opening of the trumpet judgments, where trumpets are blown. There are seven of them, and they follow in sequential order until the seventh trumpet is blown. At the blowing of the seventh trumpet, there is the pouring out of seven bowls of judgment. First, the seal judgments, which lead into the trumpet judgments, which unload the bowl judgments, until finally the King of Kings and Lord of Lords returns in the final battle and sets up his kingdom reign on this earth for 1,000 years. We'll get there, but that's chapter 20. To get there, we go through three series of judgments, not unlike one great symphony in three movements, where the seventh of the first set opens the second, and the seventh of the second set opens the third. Let me show you. 6:1 of Revelation, I saw when the Lamb broke one of the seven seals. That's the first seal judgment. verse 3, when he broke the second seal. That's the second seal judgment. Verse 5, when he broke the third seal. That's the third seal judgment. And the fourth is verse 7. These four judgments we'll look at in greater detail, but stay with me. The fifth, verse 9, is broken. And the sixth, verse 12, again, it's broken. And then for some unrevealed reason, the Lord pauses and provides an interlude where we get a glimpse of a scene in the tribulation that fits there in the Lord's plan, and we'll address that when we get to it. But we're waiting for the seventh seal. Doesn't come until 8:1 of Revelation. Turn there. When the Lamb broke the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Verse 6, and the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound them. Here's the second series in the symphony played in a minor key, the symphony of judgments. And the beginning of the first trumpet judgment is in verse 7. The first trumpet sounds. Verse 8, the second angel sounded his trumpet. And verse 10, the third angel sounded his. Verse 12, the fourth sounded. Verse 1 of chapter 9 of Revelation, the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star from heaven which had fallen to the earth. The key of the bottomless pit was given to him. Verse 13, there's the sixth sounding of the trumpet, and we wait for the seventh. And again, there is a surprise. We're into chapter 10, chapter 11, and chapter 12. But wait, look in 11:14, the second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is coming quickly. Verse 15, there it is. Then the seventh angel sounded. So we've got the seventh trumpet judgment, 11:15. Again, another brief interlude through chapter 12, chapter 13 and 14, and then we're reminded of the judgments when we get to 15 again. Watch closely. Don't let your mind drift. I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels who had seven plagues, which are the last, because in them the wrath of God is finished. Look at the end of that chapter, verse 7. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls, full of the wrath of God. We've seen the seals. We've heard the trumpets. Now we watch the bowls as they are turned over, bringing further wrath. Verse 2 of chapter 16 is the first bowl. The first angel went and poured out his bowl. Verse 3, the second bowl. Verse 4, the third. Verse 8, the fourth angel poured out his bowl. The fifth, verse 10, 16, 12, the sixth angel poured out his bowl, and then verse 17, the final major judgment as it flows through these movements. 16, 17, the seventh angel poured out his bowl upon the air. Notice the end of the verse. A loud voice came saying, "It is done." Now, this is not fanciful, this is not imaginary, but it is symbolic. We will not take unfair license and unwise exaggeration with our teaching, but we will do our best to bring this into today's terms so that we understand what we're dealing with here. Again, I will do my part. I insist, I urge you to do your part as you concentrate with me. We reverse now to the earliest judgments that are revealed, and they're called the seals or the seal judgments. We're looking at the first four today, six of Revelation, verses 1 through 8. They are numbered for us to make it easier. One man writes, of this very setting. Each of the scroll's seven seals represents a specific divine judgment that will be poured out sequentially on the earth. The seals encompass the entire period of the tribulation, culminating with the return of Christ. It seems best to understand the first four seals as taking place during the first half of the tribulation, and the fifth stretching from the first into the second half, called the Great Tribulation, C 7:14, and the last and lasting 3.5 years in the sixth and seventh, taking place during the Great Tribulation. Apparently, he adds, the seventh seal contains the seven trumpet judgments, and the seventh trumpet contains the seven bowl judgments, as I've described to you earlier. The seven seals thus contain all the judgments to the end when Jesus Christ returns.
Chuck Swindoll is teaching from Revelation chapter 6 all week long. And we urge you to keep listening to Insight for Living as the details about the future tribulation are discussed. Chuck titled this portion of our study, Let the Judgments Begin. We realize that God's coming judgment strikes fear into the hearts of many, and with all the cultural chaos unfolding these days, many are asking the natural question, Chuck, are we living in the end times? Well, the Bible teaches we can't know the day or the hour, but Scripture provides a variety of visible signs that seem evident today. But for the follower of Jesus Christ, we have nothing to fear. God knows we're feeling anxious about the conflicts around the world. But because He gave us the book of Revelation, we know how the story ends. If you feel stressed about what's happening these days, let me recommend a popular booklet that Chuck wrote for you. It's titled with the question, How Can I Win Over Worry? We believe the biblical principles in this booklet will become your strategic guide for finally putting your worry to rest. You can purchase a copy today by calling us at 1-800-663-7639 or go online to insightforliving.ca/store. In closing, I want to express our gratitude to all those who give generously to Insight for Living, especially our monthly partners. A monthly partner is someone who's willing to support Insight for Living every month. You set the amount. It's entirely up to you. But in the end, you can enjoy the satisfaction that you're doing your part to make disciples around the country, just as Christ commanded. To become a monthly partner today, go to insightforliving.ca/partner. I'm Bill Meyer. Join us when Chuck Swindoll continues to describe the coming judgment of God on those who deny Him. That's Tuesday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Let the Judgments Begin, was copyrighted in 2003, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2024 by Charles R. Swindoll Incorporated. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.